Again, I want to welcome you at the Echo Mountain Church. It's good to have you with us this morning, and we are in the midst, well, the tail end midst of a series talking about courageous faith. And today's topic and what I want to talk to you is about is having the courage to be generous. Scripture has so much to say about that. The courage to be generous. If you want the blessing of God on your life, anybody here want God to bless them? Oh, a few of you. No, I think all of you do. If you want the blessing of God on your life, if you want the power of God in your life, if you want the anointing of God through your life, you must build your life, I think, on three things in order to have the blessing of God. Those three things are integrity, humility, and generosity. Integrity, humility, and generosity. And today I want to look at just one of those. I want to look at generosity. In the Bible, there's about 7,000 promises of God. And I like to look at these. They're like blank checks to you. And God says, if you do this, I'll do that. You know, with every promise, there's a premise. God says there's a condition for every one of the promises of God in your life. Promises for success, promises for satisfaction, promises for fulfillment, promises of blessing. Over 7,000 promises of God to each one of us. But every promise has a premise. In the Bible, the number one thing that God has promised about is connected to generosity. The number one promises is connected to generosity. There's more promises related to generosity in the Bible than in any other subject. And when I say generosity, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about being generous with your time, being generous with your energy, being generous with your praise, being generous with your talents, being generous with every area of your life. It's basically becoming an unselfish person. And there's more promises about that than anything else. So, what is generosity? Why is God so interested in generosity? Why is he so interested in us learning how to be generous? That he gives all these kinds of rewards and promises more than any other thing in Scripture. I think the answer is because generosity is love in action. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You cannot be loving without being generous. If I tell my wife that I love her, but I'm not generous with my wife, I don't really love her. If I'm not generous with my kids, I don't really love my kids, because love gives. We all know the scripture, God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. And as I said, generosity is simply not love in action. And if I'm not a generous person, then I'm not a loving person. And I may think I am, but I'm not. Because love is all about giving. It's not about getting. So if you were to do a study in the Bible on all the major, on some of the major words of the Bible, the key words of the Bible, the word believe, we all know that's important, right? That's a major word in the Bible. And it's used 272 times in the Bible. Believe. 272 times. The word pray. Would you agree that's an important word? Yes. And it's obviously important. And it's used 714 times in the Bible. Oh, I got it wrong. It's used 371 times. Got to read my notes. The word give, okay? The word love is used 714 times in the Bible, but the word give is used 2,152 times. Why? I think because God is a giver. You know, everything you have in your life, if you think about it, is really a gift from God. if God was not generous, we would have nothing. Your heart would stop beating right now. God is a generous God. He gives you air, sunshine, a mind to think, and everything else in your life is a sheer gift from God. Even the ability to learn is a gift from God. And I think God wants us to learn to be like him. So today, as part of the Courageous Faith series, I thought I'd just give you, and I'm going to do it real quickly, and I was reminded earlier by someone, when you're giving out these things real quickly, you got to say them a couple times because it's hard to keep up. So I'm going to give, and today it's going to be a test because there's 12 of them. You know, the preacher people say, you know, you should have, you know, 3 points of prayer and a poem, and I got 12 for you this morning, so I'm breaking all those rules. So we'll go through this, but here's a dozen benefits, and this is what happens in you every time that you are generous. Number one, the first thing that happens is generosity honors God. That's the first thing. Generosity honors God. Giving is an act of worship, and it's a recognition that everything you have, it's acknowledging that everything you have is a gift from God. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, you will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. Your generosity will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Proverbs 12:31 says, whoever is generous to the needy, that means when you give money to help the poor, that's, you know, whoever is generous to the needy honors God. So that's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Generosity draws me closer to God. It draws me closer to God when I'm generous. Why? Because whatever I invest in is what I'm interested in. If I invest my time in something, if I invest my money in something, if I invest my energy in something, whether it's golf or a business plan or whatever I invest my time and money in, it shows what's important to me. When I invest in God and in his work, it not only honors God, it draws me closer to him, because wherever my money and time go is what attracts me. The Bible says this in Proverbs 14, verse 23. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. You know, when we give the first part of our income, our offering, our tithe, the first 10% on Sunday, the first day of the week, what we're really saying is, God, you're really number one. You know, it all came from you. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said here, your heart will be wherever your treasure is. Basically, wherever you put your money, that's where your heart's going to be. If you want to be closer to God, put some money there. It'll draw you closer to God. Here's the third one. Generosity makes me more like Jesus. When we're generous, it makes us more like Jesus. Because the most generous person who ever lived, of course, was Jesus Christ. He sacrificed the ultimate. He gave his own life. The Bible says that we have been saved because of the generosity of Jesus. Every time you give time or money or energy or anything, you become more like Jesus. Every time. Every time you give your heart will grow bigger. Every time you give, you become more like Christ. The Bible says this in Proverbs 21:30-26. The greedy always want more, but the godly love to give. And the more godly you become, the more generous you are. It also works in reverse. The more generous you are, the more godly you're going to become. Luke 11:41 says, purity is best demonstrated by generosity. In other words, to live a holy life is really to be a giver. It makes us like Christ. Now, God doesn't need your money. You know, it all belongs to him anyway. You know, it wasn't yours before you were born. It's not going to be yours after you've died. He just loaned it to you while you're alive. It's all his. Everything you have in your life, if God didn't love you and be generous with you, you would have nothing, nada. He could take it away from you instantly, and he could give you 10 times that amount instantly. He just wants you to learn how to be unselfish. Why? Because God is generous, and it makes us like Christ. Here's the fourth thing. Generosity is the cure for materialism. It's the cure for materialism. Materialism is all about get, you know. Get all you can all you get. And, and materialism is about taking in and acquiring and hoarding, and I've got to get more, I've got to get more and more. And the only antidote to materialism is giving. You may say, well, I'm not materialistic. But if you're not generous, you are. Because the only antidote, every time you give, you break the grip of materialism in your life. You break it. You stop being a materialist. The Bible says this. Jesus said it actually in Matthew 6:24. You cannot serve both God and money. You know, you might underline that word cannot. You notice he didn't say you should not. He didn't say you should not serve both God and money. He said you can't. You can't do it. It's impossible. You can't have two gods in your life. You've got to decide what's more important to you, being rich or serving God. What's more important to us? Is God number one in my life, or is money number one in my life? He says you can't have two gods. You can't serve both in your life. You know, it's very easy to get caught up in being a consumer. In our world especially, thinking that my life, that my net worth determines my self-worth. Well, it doesn't. Your values are not your valuables. And your net worth and your self-worth are not connected. But daily, it's interesting, we're bombarded by advertising daily. And Satan has this little tool he likes to use to make you materialistic. It's called catalogs or mailers or online ads. For you dads on Father's Day, it's Harbor Freight ads. How many Harbor Freight ads do you guys get with the big yellow and free and 20% off, you know? Or it might be the Cabela's ads, you know, and you're looking through those ads, you go, oh, I didn't even know they made that for my gun, or I didn't know they made that. I think I need that. I've got to have it now. Where was I without it? 1 Timothy 6:17-19 says this, command those who are rich, really that's all of us, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, let me pause just a second. God provides everything for our enjoyment? Did you know that? That everything God created is for enjoyment. He wants you to enjoy life. Not just endure it. God created it for your enjoyment. That's the kind of generous God he is. So it says, everything is provided for enjoyment. Command them, that's us, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will take hold of the life that is true life. You don't know what you're really living. You don't know what you're really living for. Until you break the grip of materializing in your life by giving. Here's the fifth thing. Generosity demonstrates my faith. When we're generous, every time you give, it demonstrates your faith. Because it shows that you're trusting in the promises of God. It shows what you believe. It shows that you believe that God will take care of you if you obey him. 2 Corinthians 9:13 says this, your giving proves the reality of your faith. Philemon 1:6 says, you are generous because of your faith. By the way, that's why I've been trying to build your faith through this Courageous Faith series for the last 9 weeks. You're generous because of your faith. You know, stinginess is caused by unbelief. You know, I don't really believe that God can take care of me. I don't really believe that if I give this way, I'll have enough left for myself. That's a worry. That's an anxiety. That's a fear. And that's unbelief. You're generous because of your faith. In Malachi 3:10, this is an interesting scripture. God dares you to trust his promises. He says, bring your whole tithe, that's 10%, to my storehouse. What's the storehouse? It's the temple or the church, wherever you worship. And he goes on, he says, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough for it. In that scripture, God's saying, I dare you. Test me. It's kind of the Pepsi challenge of the Bible. You know, the Bible says the way you prove that God exists is by tithing and see if he doesn't bless you more. It demonstrates my faith. Here's number six. Generosity reveals my character. It reveals my character. In other words, it shows what kind of heart that I really have. It shows, do I have a selfish heart or do I have an unselfish heart? Do I have a generous heart or do I have a stingy heart? Giving, generosity shows what my heart is really like. In fact, the Bible says that God uses money to test what's really inside of us. You know, he uses money to test and see if he can trust you with more. And he says, if you're faithful with little things, I'll give you more things. And the Bible says, if you're faithful with that which is not your own, what God has loaned you while you're here on earth, I will give you greater blessings in eternity. You may not realize this, but the rewards and responsibilities that you have in heaven are going to be based on how you manage your money here on earth. Did you know that? That's what scripture, look at this next verse. Jesus Christ said it. It says, in the next verse in your outline, it says, if you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, basically it says you don't manage your money well, you're not being generous, you're untrustworthy, it says, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And the answer is nobody. God won't. Your responsibility and rewards in heaven are going to be built on how you handled what God gave you here on earth right now. Okay, let's look at some promises now. Number seven, generosity brings God's blessing. Generosity brings God's blessing. I could give you 100 verses on this in the Bible. Generosity bringing God's blessing. If you want God's blessing on your life, you must learn to not be a miser. You must learn to not be stingy. You must learn to be open-handed with what God has given you, helping other people with everything you've got. The more you give away your time, your talents, your treasure, the more God will give you. Giving brings God's blessings. Here's just a few verses. Proverbs 22:9 says, generous people will be blessed. You either believe it or you don't, but God said it. It's true. Deuteronomy 15:10 says, give generously. Then because of this, God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. So basically, if you want God to bless everything you put your hand to, there's the answer right there. Give generously. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 and 8 says, God loves the one who gives gladly. And God will make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. So generosity brings God's blessing. Here's number eight. Generosity increases my happiness. It increases my happiness. Everybody knows this, okay, that generosity increases your happiness. The only people who don't know it are people who aren't generous. Jesus said it like this in Acts 20. Jesus said, there is more happiness in giving than in receiving. Here's number nine. Generosity expands my influence. It expands my influence. The more generous you become, the more influential you will become. Because influence comes not from what you get in life. Influence comes from what you give away in life. And the more you give away, the more influential you'll be. There's a difference between being famous and being influential. There's a lot of people who are famous who have no influence. There's a lot of selfish people who are famous, but they don't really have any real influence. So when you want to help other people, influence comes from generosity. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 11:24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy will get smaller and smaller. Psalm 112 says this in verse 9. Those who give generously to those in need, basically you're helping the poor, you're helping the unfortunate, will never be forgotten. So it's saying if you want a legacy, help the poor. They will have influence and honor. Now, I've found this one to be true in my own spiritual life, my own personal life. You do that because you cannot outgive God. And God says, you give to me, and I'll give to you. Here's the tenth one. Generosity multiplies my money. This is a big one. You know, I gave you I can give you a lot of verses on this, and there's some in your outline. Generosity actually multiplies my money. 2 weeks ago, a friend of ours who's been without work and diligently trying to find work called me and let me know that their children were basically kicking her out of their house. And she was going to have to move out of state. She needed help moving stuff and a place to stay. And while we were loading the last of her boxes and furniture into a storage place, I reached in my wallet. And in there, folded up in a little tiny fold behind my Taco Bell free taco coupon, was a $50 bill that my cousin had given to me months ago. Just, she'd given it to me. And so I pulled out that $50 bill and I handed it to her and I says, you probably could use some gas money. And she was very grateful. In fact, she said, yeah. My truck's on empty, and I could use some fuel. Well, here's the interesting thing. That was, I think, on a Thursday night. So a couple days later is Sunday. And I walk in here, and I'm shaking hands with people, and I had one person greet me, and I know that he's not wealthy. He doesn't work. He's retired. And he shakes my hand. He says, how are you doing, Pastor? And I felt something in my hand. I go, what's that? It was a $50 bill. I'm like, you can't afford that. You don't need to do that. He goes, yeah, God told me to. I'm like, wow. I'm thinking in the back of my mind, okay, I'll put this behind the Taco Bell thing for the future. And then on the way out, somebody else shook my hand. And they had a check in their hand for $100. So that's the way God works. Now, I'm not giving you like a get-rich-quick scheme. I don't want you all just handing out $50 because you know God's going to give you $150, right? But that's the way God works. When you're generous, you know, the purpose in that story is to look for God's appointments, for opportunities to be generous and to be loving. God has worked out the universe in such a way that when I give God 10% of my income, that's called tithing, that he makes the 90% go farther than if I had 100% on my own. The Bible says this in Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. Anybody want to prosper? Yeah. A generous man will prosper. That's God talking. And then he goes on, he says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be enriched. That means you're going to have more than you have right now. It says you will be enriched so that you can be a fat cat and spend it all on yourself. No, I don't think that's what it says. It says you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. God multiplies your money. You play this game. God says, you give to me and I'll give to you, and you give to others and I'll give to you, and we'll see who wins. And I'll tell you, you'll never beat God at the generosity game. I can tell you that. So generosity multiplies the money. Here's number 11. Generosity brings God's protection. You know, a lot of people don't know this one, that it actually brings God's protection on your family, on your business, on your life. Psalm 112, verses 5 and 6 says, all goes well for the generous man who conducts his business fairly. There's integrity and generosity right there. Who conducts his business fairly. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. You notice it doesn't say that you're not going to have evil circumstances. It says you're not going to be overthrown by them. Everybody has tough times. Everybody goes through trials and problems. There's no guarantee of a problem-free life. You're going to have evil circumstances in your life. But when you're generous, God says, I'll make sure you're not blown away by them, that you're not overthrown by evil circumstances. Then that verse goes on to say, God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. People around you will be saying, look at that guy. He's blessed even in tough times. God is blessing him even when the things are going wrong in his life all around him. So generosity brings God's protection. And here's the last one, number 12. Generosity will be rewarded in heaven. It will be rewarded in heaven. The Bible says this, in 1 Timothy 6, 18 and 19, use your money to do good. You know, you might focus on that word, use. Money is to be used. It's not to be loved. It is to be used. If you use money, you love people. If you start loving money, you're going to use people. So money is just a tool. You might write that down. It's neither good nor bad. There's nothing good or bad about money. It's just neutral. You can use it for good or you can use it for bad. There's nothing evil about money. It's just neutral. It can be used in really good ways and it can be used in really bad ways. Some people say, well, doesn't the Bible say money is the root of all evil? We've all heard that. No, it doesn't. The Bible doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. You're to love people and use money, not reversed. So he says, use your money to do good. It goes on, it says, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given you. By doing this, you'll be storing up real treasure for yourself in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. And they, that's us, will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. So, you can't take the money with you. Personally, I've never, other than a picture, I think it was doctored up, I've never seen a hearse towing a U-Haul. You can't take it with you. You know, you can't, but you can send it on ahead. How do you do that? Four times in Scripture, Jesus says, store up treasure in heaven. How do you do that? How do you bank in heaven? By investing in people who are going there. That's how you do it, by investing in what we're doing at Echo Mountain Church. Getting people into heaven. Getting them strong, getting them growing. Getting them serving others. He said, that's investing in heaven. He said, what you send on ahead, you're going to be able to enjoy the treasures in heaven for yourself. So one of the most important things that Jesus said is in this next verse, Luke 16, 9. He says, I tell you, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. You might be thinking, what do you mean by that? I'll come back to that. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. So what does it mean? Use my worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Now, he's not saying to go out and buy a bunch of friends. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this: take some of your money and use it to build bridges of friendship to bring people to Jesus Christ, who are then going to be saved, and they're going to be go to heaven with you. And when you get to heaven someday, then there will be people in heaven who will greet you and say, "Hey, you're here. Thank you. Thank God for all you did. You gave me some money, and that brought me to Jesus Christ. I'm in heaven because of you. I'm your friend forever now." Is anybody going to be in heaven because of the way you use your money? Are you going to have any friends up there because people say, "Thank you. I'm here because of you. You bought a Bible for me. You sponsored a project. You built a church. You helped the program. I came to know the Lord. I'm here because of you. And I'm your friend forever." That is what it means to be rewarded in heaven. And those are rewards you're going to have forever. Everything I spend on myself here on earth, I'm losing. Everything I invest in others and in God's work, I'm going to gain again in heaven. Now, we have some guests here this morning, but for those of you who are regular tenders, you know that we take an offering. And I never have, I never will try to guilt people into giving. I firmly believe that it's part of our worship for regular tenders. And guests, we're just glad to have you as guests. But I want to share something with you, for you who are regular tenders. Echo Mount Church is not flush. What I mean by that, it's not doing real well financially. In fact, over the last 2 months, twice, we were not able to make payroll, on time at least. And for me, it's not a big deal because God provides. But I've seen this coming, and I decided at the beginning of the year, I decided to, when you're the sole dude, the pastor, and you don't have a large staff, you have to be responsible in making decisions. So I decided to give myself a $6,000 cut in salary this year. And the only reason I'm telling you guys this is, I'm not trying to, again, guilt, but I think it's important that we as, and excuse me, guests, but you can just kind of hang on. It's important that we live, that the church live within our means. We are tremendously blessed. We are blessed to have a beautiful facility. Now, the way God brought that blessing about was he allowed our church to burn down, okay? But we're provided. And this facility and this land and this church is debt-free. We don't know. So we're tremendously blessed. But I believe that we as a church, we need to live within our means. We need to live within our means. Well, it's interesting how God works. Again, I decided to do that, and he brought a part-time job for me that doesn't interfere with my work here at the church. And so, he's taking care of us. But I just want us to be aware. My wife has told me, she says, people are going to be mad if you don't share, because money isn't a big push, because I believe totally that God will provide. But it is important as a lead pastor, me as a leader, to share so people know, because we're a family, and as a family, we need to know what's going on. And also because I want us all to step out courageously and to be generous givers. And why? It's not for me. It's not even for the church. It's because God's promises, God will bless you. And my heart of hearts, I want God to bless your socks off. And I totally believe he will. And I want you to be a recipient of the promises that we have talked about this morning. Where do I want to keep my greatest wealth? Here, where I get to use it for 80 years, or in heaven where I get to use it for trillions of years in eternity? I think it's a no-brainer. Generosity will be rewarded in heaven. And I want us to be a part of that. I want the work at this church to continue on. I want to continue. You know why I'm a pastor? It's not because I'm a great orator or any of that stuff. I'm basically addicted to seeing God change lives. I just love. I love, love, love to see God change lives. And I want this little church on the side of this little mountain to be a beacon of God's love. And I want to see people come in. And I want to see lives changed. And that's what it's about for me. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, I want to thank you for the family here at Echo Mountain Church. I want to thank you for the promises that are in your word regarding generosity. And I know what you're going to do in people's lives, and I thank you for that. And Father, may we all be courageous in our faith. Be courageous enough to be obedient in our faith and in our generosity. Lord, help us to trust you with our finances and realize that they all belong to you. Lord, help us to be wise stewards of the blessings that you have given us. Help us to get over our fear, our anxiety, and our unwillingness to trust you. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.